It's Window Nation's semi-annual sale, and it's a big deal. Right now, get 50% off all windows along with no interest for 5 years plus bonus savings when you schedule a consult today. If your windows leak, get foggy or hot, or you're paying high utility bills, that's a big deal. With Window Nation's semi-annual sale, you can replace your windows and save a big deal too. Schedule a no-obligation in-home estimate now. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
So you guys who've known me a long time know that I grew up with sports writers and sort of the appreciations through sports, not only just observing directly, but through the media. And so I have a lot of appreciation for it. So I just want to say, you know, we lost Chris Mortensen recently. One of the people I really respected tremendously nationally, and just a really high integrity, good person who, you know, think about a lot lately. Secondly, Peter King retiring, another thing. I mean, you miss him here this week. Just somebody with a, you know, have a lot of respect for, and always looked out for, I think, both the fan interest and held integrity, and just always interesting, Peter. And and so thinking about those two lately, and you know, with that, I was thinking what influenced me, and Peter Gammons still alive, I think, and doing well. But Peter was sort of my favorite sports writer growing up, and it's sort of, I'm saying to you guys, it's just an appreciation for the profession. It's changed over the years. The economics of owning newspapers have changed. It's a lot more difficult. The digital revolution has changed the whole nature of it all, but I don't know. So I was thinking about that as we're walking in here today. Other than that, I just wanted to recognize that two players, extraordinary people and players, Jason Kelce, Fletcher Cox, retired this year. One of the joys of owning the Eagles is the camaraderie, the relationship with players, relationship with coaches, relationships with everybody in the building. It's one of the favorite joys of owning the team, and it's all for a purpose, winning. And yet you come across extraordinary players and extraordinary people. Jason and Fletch, two exceptional players. I hope we'll see them both in Canton in 5 years, and they'll, of course, be recognized and celebrated in Eagles near history and future history forever, but amazing people. So anyway, with that, take any questions.
Jeffrey, what went into the process of deciding to retain or not Nick? How did you ultimately arrive at the decision to retain him? And then also going forward, what expectations do you have for him?
Right. We go through a very, very intensive process after every single season. This season was no different. Extremely disappointing ending to the season, the last 5-6 games. Extremely disappointing to me, very frustrating for all of us. But what we do is, and I insist on this, is there's no recency bias, there's no latency bias, there's no bias. Take a very hard look at exactly what the entire season looked at, what the entire history has been over the last few years for our organization, for our team, and listen. You know, I do a lot of listening. I ask a lot of questions. It doesn't matter how the season ends, it's the exact same very rigid well, I'll call it rigid, but very sort of analytic process where you try to assess your strengths, your weaknesses, and what can we do a lot better? What do we have to look forward to the following year? What is the plan? And that goes for players, that goes for personnel, that goes for culture. It goes into everything. I do a lot of listening. I listen to players, I listen to coaches, I listen to our personnel people. And once, you know, one can assess and meet with Howie, with Nick, go through a lot of details and a lot of plans and a lot of philosophies, it was very easy to be very, very encouraged of where we're at and where we're going forward. I mean, it was extremely impressive meeting with Nick and with Howie on our plans for both roster development and player development, execution, every aspect of coaching. So, you know, it was a very straightforward decision based on a very straightforward process. I don't get overly influenced by very much. It has to be a holistic look at where we are as a franchise. I expect us to always be a championship caliber team that also looks to the mid-range and the future at the same time. They're all important. And I think, you know, one of the experiences I've had over the years is to take a very hard look at everything every year, no matter how it ends, no matter how it starts. I do know that, you know, until we were hitting that streak of not playing well at the end of the year, we were 31-7 in the previous 38 regular season games. To say the least, that's exceptional. And that's starting with taking a team that has a 4-win season in our final year with Doug and taking it right into a playoff team right away and then into the Super Bowl and then into a 10-1 beginning of this past season. A very disappointing ending, but I don't take light in 31-7 in the National Football League. That's extraordinary. And so the ingredients that I've always seen with Nick are very obvious. The ability to connect, the ability to be authentic, very hard, incredible work ethic, high football IQ. All the reasons that he was hired in the first place have been almost magnified in the first 3 years because they've been extremely successful. And yet, that doesn't ever take away from the hard look at the disappointment and frustration as it ended. So I don't mean to diminish that in the slightest, because I don't. I live that, and I care. And so every element of why we were not able to be resilient as we expected goes into that analysis. And, you know, I think one of the things that we were able to do in the past is when there's been a tough stretch to be resilient. Kansas City and San Francisco, two teams that, you know, we competed against and do compete against, had rough stretches this season, really rough stretches. And yet they were able to come out of it in time for the playoffs. And that's, I would say, the falling of our team at this point, at that point, was we were not able to. So I think that's just facts. We were not able to. They were, but there's no doubt that really, really good teams, Super Bowl teams, us the year before, KC and SF this year, tough stretches. You've got to be able to rebound from a 3-4 out of 5 loss, you know, stretch. And we were able to beat a lot of those teams, but we didn't rebound from it. And that's, you know, that was the key focal point of the analysis.
Why did you bring in that hard look, yeah, what was your evaluation of the process and the results for the defensive coordinator replacement midseason?
I think it didn't work. I think one thing I give Nick a lot of credit for is in a profession where there's a lot of comfortability, Nick has never taken that approach. He takes what he thinks is in the best interest of the team, whether it was from turning over the play calling to Shane Steichen early on to feeling even at, what were we, 9-3 or whatever our record was at the time, making a change in the defensive play calling in hopes that we would even be better in the last part of the season. So, you know, one of the things I really respect about Nick is his ability to evaluate where we're at, where he's at, where he thinks the team needs, and he's very little ego to go in with that. And that's really important, I think, in a leader. So I applaud the aggressiveness and the attempt, and I would say in conclusion, it didn't work the way it was expected to work.
I'm sure that you look closely at why you guys weren't able to pull out of the spin
right
season. What did you find?
I think there's a lot of reasons. So in any losing streak, it's multifactorial, and you've got to really kind of go into the weeds of each one, and that's sports. You're going to have, you know, a momentum shift, and then you're going to have instances where you're just winning a lot of close games. You know, I even tried to analyze when we were 10-1, there were some games it felt like I wasn't sure why we won the game. You know, so you go into both. We were playing extremely well in that 10-1 streak, but there were moments where we weren't putting teams away. You could be critical of what was almost perfection. And that's my mentality. I will take, you know, while we're doing well or not well, a real, I hope, objective look at it and, you know, seek improvement at all times, even when we're 10-1.
How much of a Jalen Hurts' regression did you think was on him or on outside variables?
Jalen Hurts, outstanding young quarterback, outstanding young person. Okay, Jalen Hurts, let's say, take an objective appreciation of this young man. The year before, co-MVP candidate, I think he ended up number two in the National Football League. You could argue that with one more chance with the ball at the end of the Super Bowl, he was the Super Bowl MVP. Then we go into this year, and we're 10-1. And I think I remember reading about the odds of Super Bowl of the odds of being MVP this year. I think Jalen was leading the way, or one of the top two. That's Jalen's last two seasons. 25 years old, leading this team. He and all of us wish the final five or six games were a lot better. It's a team sport. And there's so many factors that go into it. You know, was the protection good enough? Well, there, you can go on and on and on, but we've got a major star, 25-year-old, mature young man who has every skill set that you'd want. And he's a superb person, excellent leader. And he's authentic, and I really respect that. This is, you know, as a owner of the team, this is exactly what you want.
What in particular did stand out about Nick's plans for the future? You called the plan an encouragement.
Yeah, very, very proactive. I mean, the things with Nick, I have to say, were really impressive, were wanting to truly improve the ingredients of the offense, truly improve who was going to lead in terms of leading the offense and the direction it would go. Wanted to be much more innovative, much more dynamic. Of course, bring the things that brought us a lot of success, but very open to finding the best possible offensive coordinator, and the same with defensive coordinator. I mean, it's he's an offensive head coach more. But he recognized that Vic Fangio would be somebody that would be an outstanding defensive coordinator for us. I mean, we talked about his systems for years and all the people that, you know, he developed, and now we have the guy that really kind of fathered the certain approach to defense. And so Nick's conscious desire to have top-notch defense, top-notch coordinators under him really drove a lot of the strategy, and he was hell-bent on making sure we had the best. And, you know, highly encouraged by his both analysis of where we're at, no excuses, basically, you know, a fundamental understanding of what needs to be better than the last 5 or 6 weeks of the season, and not only a return to our championship-caliber performance and execution, but improve on that too. not just go back to what we were, but try to be better than what we were in the really recent past.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All-star closer Kenley Jansen, we have a question.
What's the best podcast of all time?
Baseball isn't boring, baby.
I'm Rob Bradford, and every single day I'm sitting down with the biggest names to show you this great game is the greatest game. It's my podcast. It's my passion. It's a cause I started more than 2 years ago and is now the most prolific national daily baseball pod there is. Another fact, so jump aboard the BIB Express. Follow and listen to Baseball Isn't Boring, presented by Wasabi Hot Cloud Storage on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Jeff, you're speaking highly of Nick, but the perception on the outside is that he's on the hot seat going into next season. Maybe he's on a short leash. Can you speak to his job security heading into next season?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, every coach is in a high-pressured situation. Nick has had a pretty spectacular first three seasons, and he's shown all the ingredients to have outstanding success. So I'm just looking forward, and there's no coach that's not feeling pressure to perform. That's the way it is in the National Football League. I think Nick is, he's got all the ingredients, as I've said, and I'm just really excited about this coming season. And our roster development, I think, is you didn't ask about it, but extremely analytic, self-critical, and has an ability to see where we can be much better, and has the ability also to have a strategy of how to get there. I mean, you can say, okay, we need this, we need this, we need this. This is not how Howie operates. It's much more multiple than that, and it's understanding evaluation of where different positions are in the league, where the league is headed in certain ways so that you can be a little different. Where can you have advantages, both on salary cap, on contract structure, on planning ahead, resources, draft allocations? I mean, it's extreme, and he has a great staff. And people don't talk about that enough, but he's got an outstanding support staff in all aspects. And we pay a lot of attention to the ability to construct contracts that gives us opportunities to have distinct advantages in the league, and we'll stick to that approach.
What are your thoughts right now on Hassan's situation?
I really wouldn't want to talk about any player, no matter who, under contract to our team or another team, and I'll let that play itself out. We don't have any games for, what, five more months? That'll play itself out. He's, by the way, a terrific player, great person. Great background in Philadelphia, and I just see it'll play itself out in a very good way.
As a follow-up to the roster building, what perspective did you have on the Saquon Barkley signing, especially given the context of kind of how you've spoken about the running game in these sessions in the past?
How I talked about the running game?
Yeah, you've spoken about the running back position and the running game. Have you seen?
Right.
Right.
I think what we're always looking for for really inefficiencies in the marketplace. And if we think the league is overvaluing a position or undervaluing a position, we will try our best, not always capable, of taking advantage of those inefficiencies. That's important as you're trying to maximize the salary cap and how you allocate resources within a defined space. But I think with Saquon, one of the things we always talk about, whether it was LeSean McCoy, Brian Westbrook, is the value of a running back is it's not even the word of the title running back. You have to be a great passing attack running back as well. For us, it's got to be multifunctional. And he exhibited very special skill set, both in the running and the passing game, that we think certainly can be maximized by being on a team with better skill positions, quarterback, offensive line. So it was a strategy to go. I know people think, well, we don't spend on the running back position. That's never really been the case. We would do it very carefully. So LeSean McCoy, Brian Westbrook, those are instances of players that are really multi-purpose running backs that improve the passing attack, improve the running attack, and it's hard to find exceptional talent players. So if you think about it, what we pay Saquon Barkley, take another position of what that's getting in the league, and you tell me, is it better to pay Saquon that kind of money or a player at a different position that's getting the exact same amount of money? That's a decision, you know, and how we led the way there and felt that Saquon was the right way to spend that money.
Jeffrey, given the way that the season ended, you talked about kind of just, I don't know, evaluating the staff and everything like that, but if any changes do you make to the job that you're doing in terms of just the way that you oversee things and communicate with?
I think it's always important, and humility to me is the most important part of leadership. Vision is very important, but you better have humility. So when we're in the Super Bowl, like the year before, it's very important for me to be able to emphasize both with myself and with my staff and key executives, remain always humble, always be critical of what we're doing. We can be better. And that's the message I give to myself. It's the message I give to everybody. It's the message I would give to our fans. We've had, you know, a lot of success, but with that comes the responsibility to be very humble and figure out how can we even be better. So, you know, I challenge myself on that all the time.
You mentioned so much about innovation when it comes to offense, and when it comes to Kellen Moore, what gives you the confidence that he'll be able to elevate, innovate and use these pieces that you guys recently have to take you guys to that level you want to be at?
Right. Well, first of all, I'm encouraged by Nick's support of Kellen, because Nick really brought Kellen into the picture of who we should hire. It was his first choice. And you know, I had the fortune of really getting to know Kellen quite a bit in the head coach interviewing process. We all did, and spent, you know, 5, 6, 7 hours with Kellen. We're able to fully evaluate where we thought he was at that point. And I rely on Nick's judgment on this. On the other hand, I think internally we feel he's one of the most dynamic offensive coordinators in football. We had to play against him every single year, and he's worked with outstanding young quarterbacks, and he's always had a very sort of difficult to defend multiple attack. And Nick, who is his biggest supporter in this, basically went through how he thinks Kellen will transform our offense into something that's more unpredictable and more dynamic, and in a great way. So,
do you have any experience with this type of dynamic where it's the head coach not being the play caller and then bringing in someone to not only call the plays but to essentially give the scheme a lot of its
If you go back to who I've hired as head coach, with the exception of Chip Kelly, I've never hired a head coach who's really called any plays. They may have called it when they joined the Eagles or did eventually, but I've always prioritized as a head coach many, many other qualities, and I think that's been one of the important aspects. I don't like to talk about it a lot because I feel it's like proprietary how we choose head coaches. But if you go back, since you're asking the question, it's a head coach's responsibility to have the plays called really well. It doesn't matter who is calling the plays. You want to have an excellent play caller. Does that have to be the head coach? No. When I look for a head coach, I'm looking for things that have big ramifications beyond the ability to call plays. And They're all important, but it's never been the reason I've ever hired a head coach.
When you talk about those qualities, I mean, Nick, you've mentioned a few things about how he seems to be in a managerial role. How do you see him in terms of development as a young coach, too, working through some of the humility of the past year? And
He's extremely self-critical, and he's that role is a managerial. Let me just say that you said head coach. The most important aspect of a head coach is the managerial role, the leadership role of it. Who you surround yourself is going to determine a lot of your success, and that goes for every aspect of it. And humility is a huge part of that because you want to have people that are driven to succeed and be able to manage that and give them a lot of responsibility and at the same time be a grinder so that you can get into the weeds like Nick does and able to really assess where things are at all times. So he's exhibited a lot of growth as a young coach. I think he'll exhibit even more because he is so self-critical. I look forward to seeing that development because he's had so much early success that I think he can build on it. But at the same time, he's of that type that's going to, just want to improve on it, not settle for the fact that he had early success as a coach.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hey, I'm Brett Podolsky, co-founder of The Farmer's Dog. We make fresh food for dogs. We started the company when we saw what a huge difference it made in my own dog, Jada, when she stopped eating ultra-processed kibble and started eating fresh, whole food. The Farmer's Dog food isn't fancy. It's just real food delivered to your door in pre-portioned packs. It's better for them and easier for you.
Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/podcast. That's thefarmersdog.com/podcast.
That's a real credit. Yeah, Zach.
As far as the season opener in Brazil, what factored in to the Eagles playing there?
Yeah.
And I guess what role do the Eagles have in the international expansion in the league?
Right. It's probably the biggest area of growth for the National Football League. We are not a sport that has had tremendous global expansion, global growth. It's about to happen. The sport is, its popularity in the United States is like a rocket ship. It's extraordinary in every single metric, every single way, whether it's women, minorities. The entire country has adopted the NFL in a way like we've never seen for any sport. Internationally, I think it's really important. I'm proud that we will be taking the first game to South America. 38 million sports fans. Brazil is the fifth most populated country on the planet. As many of you know, it's an incredibly dynamic country, multicultural, a real melting pot in so many ways, really interesting, whether it's the music, the culture, incredible sports fandom, one of the great countries on the planet. So as part of the international priority, every team is going to play a neutral game where they host a neutral game. I think it's once every 6 or 8 years. And we stepped up and thought, let's do it in South America, in Brazil, a really dynamic country. And then We won't be doing that as the rotation goes through. But we are big supporters of trying to make the NFL a more popular game around the world. I think it's really possible. I know we have marketing priorities and arrangements in Australia, New Zealand. We were the first in Africa, in Ghana, and we'll be the first to host, a game in Brazil and South America. So it's proud to be an ambassador for the NFL. I think it's America's most incredibly potential export. I mean, most things in America that are really popular become extremely popular globally. The NFL hasn't yet. It's about to have a chance to be. And so to be a part of that, to represent a really good football team that's exciting to watch, I think will be great for Brazil and South America and for the public to see down there. And I'm just proud to be an ambassador and do whatever I can to bring that to both the NFL and our fans. And I think our fans are excited to see their team also get to show the world. Also,
Jeffrey, there was a lot of talk this year about Nick's demeanor on the sideline.
Yeah.
Curious from your perspective, did you talk to him about that? What do you think of it?
Right.
Going forward.
No, it's a good question. I think, first of all, one of the aspects that makes Nick really good is he's authentic. He doesn't hold back. That also can be a negative at times. On the sideline, you don't want to infuriate the referees. I always worry about, I want the referees to give us a fair shake, so I don't want him to overreact. But I love his passion. So, I think he recognizes that it can be a little bit counterproductive if he overdoes his own passion. But you don't want to stop where that passion's coming from. So you got to find a sweet spot. And I think he wants to find a sweet spot of what that's like, But you don't, I love his passion. So
along those lines, Dom became sort of a celebrity in the NFL world this season. What can you say about the role that he plays in the organization?
Yeah, Dom is, first of all, the best at what he does in the National Football League. It's not just a matter of security, it's culture. It's support systems for players, for everybody. One of the real outstanding executives in the National Football League, and a great person, as I think you all know. He is somebody who is a peacekeeper, and on the sideline, it's unfortunate what happened in the San Francisco game because his intentions were completely to be the peacekeeper. But you have to also understand it from the league perspective. That they don't want to have contact with a non-player on the sideline. So, it just was a sort of an unfortunate situation. But Dom is somebody we all have tremendous respect for and plays an important part of every aspect.
The other end of the demeanor spectrum is Jalen. What are your thoughts on him being the quiet leader and just the way he is, what you'd like to see? Him show a little more exuberance sometimes.
So with Jalen, as I talked about earlier, he's 25 years old. Incredible last few years. Disappointing ending of the last year as a team. The thing with Jalen, and I mentioned about Nick, but the thing with Jalen is I want him to be authentic, and that's what he is. It's the worst thing to be 24, 25, and to try to be something. Be authentic as he is. He's an excellent, excellent example. So, there's times for the stoicism. When we were 10-1, people said, oh, it's because of Jalen's stoicism and calm under the storm that we were 10-1 on all those close games and then lose a few and, maybe he's not, as demonstrative or whatever. I love the way Jalen is. I think he has his own style. I think he'll, like every quarterback goes through ebbs and flows in their career. And so there were so many ups, and then we had a really difficult final 5-6 games of the year. He will adjust to that and lead the way because he's really respected for being who he is. And that's, you have a 25-year-old player. I think you want to reinforce who they are, not try to mold them into somebody they're not. He's an exceptional leader.
You've talked about the importance of assistant coaching staff in the
yeah.
past and that you're not afraid to step in
no.
Where need be. Was this a case where you stepped in and set a parameter where, X needed to happen with the coaching staff?
No, I'm glad it wasn't. No, not at all. This was in the analysis of where we're at. Nick, you know, really was adamant about having excellent coordinators, and it was something that, you know, literally came from Nick. I completely ratified it. I felt the same way, but it didn't matter. I mean, it was, you know, I trust the people. I trust Nick and I trust Howie. And if Howie says to me, we've got to make a change in the way we look at certain things, I listen to Howie. If Nick says we need to have a more dynamic offense or we need to have a much more defense in a different direction, I listen because I have trust, and I think that's, you know, really important. I thought what you were about to say was, do I get involved in the support of it in terms of whether it's salary or things like that? We're very aggressive. If we think there's an excellent coordinator, we will make sure we do everything possible financially to get them. I find that the coordinators are extremely important in the NFL. They determine a lot. The coaching positions are much more leadership positions than anyone realizes, and the coordinators are crucial. And also a shout out to Michael Clay, because you know, there were times when our special teams really struggled the last few years, and this year special teams was pretty outstanding. And Nick stuck with Michael and kept saying, "This is a really good young coach," and he inherited him, and that's a little rare in the NFL too. Inherited him and really wanted to develop him, and Michael did a great job, and we've got a, you know, really good thing going there. So,
you know where the league stands on looking into the tampering allegations?
You know, I just let them do their thing. No, I don't really have. I respect their process. They have to do it.
Did you do your own internal look at whether that occurred?
Oh, we're very comfortable with everything. With our activity, we know exactly what we're doing. So it's not. We just have to rely on the NFL to do its work and respect that, and I'm sure they will.
Do you have any idea where things are headed with Isaiah Rodgers?
I don't. I'm hopeful, very hopeful. He's a key part of our planning going forward, and you know, it was a smart move by Howie to acquire Isaiah, and very optimistic he'll be fully on board very soon.
A year ago, you didn't want to talk about the NFL PA player poll, but you guys, in two areas where you didn't score as well, you did go up, and there were ways that you did address it.
Yeah.
Is that in response to that? And then what do you think about the poll came out this year?
I don't ever remember saying I didn't talk about it, because I embrace it. It's not pure evidence. It's an indicator, and I love that. I don't have a way of knowing everything we're doing is top-notch, and anyone who knows me knows I want to have a culture that is outstanding in every single way, and nothing ever gets in the way of that. So if I ever learn about something that's not top-tier in the National Football League, I'd like to take action right away. So I look forward to those player polls, and we take action on them, as you said. It's really it's helpful.
What's your thought on the kickoff rule?
Kickoff rule, very controversial, I suppose. Took a while to discuss this week. I think it's going to be so much more exciting than what we had. So there's always a pendulum between health and safety. They almost eliminated kickoff returns, leading into this past season. We had 13 kickoffs in the Super Bowl. Not one got returned. So I think for the fans, this will be so much more exciting. I think for all of us, it's going to be exciting. We don't know how it's going to go, but it's going to be very exciting. And I think it was creative. They got all the special teams coaches together and tried to devise something that would be both as safe as a run play and a pass play, which is a lot safer than a typical kickoff return in the past, and at the same time, not boring, like kick it into the end zone and have no return and it's a wasted play. So I think it's a sweet spot of, I give the NFL a lot of credit for, unlike a lot of sports, actions get taken to change rules to make the game more exciting. And it's not like wait around for 4, 5, 6 years to try to figure out what to do. We were sort of embarrassed by kickoffs this past year and how few got returned. So let's do something about it. If it's not perfect, I'm sure it'll be, you know, seen, and we'll adjust it going into the 25 season. But don't be afraid. Don't be risk averse, as you know I always say. Don't be risk averse. This is going to be interesting. It's going to create a lot of scheme possibilities, a lot of strategy. You can imagine the utilization of different players in the return game and in the tackling game, and it's going to be a challenge for everybody, including probably especially the coaches.
Any thoughts or plans to join the development project and the sports complex?
You know what? We talk closely all the time with Comcast and with the Phillies, and it's something we monitor, you know. At this point, we're not a part of that, but it's something we monitor closely, and we're part of the sports complex, and we have, 8 or 9 years more on our lease, and so we'll just keep monitoring it and, you know, try to figure out what's best for the Eagles.
We're seeing more games, like such as the Brazil game, being put on Peacock and Amazon, stuff like that. Do you see that happening more and more now as this continues on? I just wanted to hear all thoughts about that.
Yeah, it's a great question. I don't see it more and more. What I do see is the population embraces streaming in certain ways tremendously, so that it's technically, it was the wild card game on Peacock was a huge success. I think they had 21, 22 million viewers. Technologically, it was excellent. And so it's also a younger demographics. The NFL, like other sports leagues, but we're very proactive when it comes to analysis of demographics. We want to be younger at times, and streamers and Amazon have an ability to deliver younger audiences. But the beauty of the NFL is that most of it is on free television, and it's going to remain that way for a long, long time. That's the basis of the popularity of the NFL. So I wouldn't want anyone to think it's just another way to go to expand the distribution of games. But the bulwark of NFL games are free and direct access for all consumers.
You said at the last one about honoring Jason and Fletcher.
Yes.
At some point, are there specific plans to do so?
There will be. They just announced their retirement, but we take it extremely seriously that they deserve it. I mean, there's going to be, I'm sure, lots of celebrations. And, and also what happens with us, and I think you'll see it with both Jason Fletcher, you're going to see it with BG someday, is they're a part of the organization. I mean, I don't expect any of them to not really be part of what we're doing as the decades go by. That's just, the way I see the culture. And I see the culture of this franchise as very special. It's not always perfect. It's not, but it's an advantage for us that we have such a relationship with both our players and those that are part of us for a long time, to be part of what goes on after their career. And so with those kind of players, they're just going to be a part of what we're doing. And we talk about all the time, even during their career. And Fletch, BG, Jason, I mean, these are guys that you're going to see around us forever, at least as long as I'm around. And I think goes long after that. I mean, it's part of why I love our team so much, our sport, our franchise, Philadelphia. It's why it's so great to have that family atmosphere. It's not just about wins and losses. That's crucial. We want to be the best. We want to win more Super Bowls. That's a given. But while you're doing it, make it a family process that's wonderful for everybody, day to day. That's the joy, the camaraderie, and the relationships. So those are, back to Jason and Fletch, they'll be part of what we're doing forever.